A busy show Tuesday style, March the 26th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. Connecticut mom Shelley Sinlin talked about the difficulties she's facing, like many families all over the country, trying to deal with a new online federal college financial aid portal. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio updated us on some key pieces of legislation facing the General Assembly, while I had some initial thoughts about how we've devalued the concept of citizenship. Right now, I'm going to talk a little federal student aid. This situation is actually a major story that if you Google this, you're seeing more and more headlines every day, and it has to do with getting your kid in college. I just did that with my son a few years ago. He's been out about 8 years, great career. I did it years ago, but we all remember, no matter how much information we gather, how tense it is to apply for student aid. Everybody does it unless you're filthy rich. You need some aid, federal student loans, other loans, maybe scholarships from the prospective schools that your kids are looking into. And all of this, in some way, shape, or form now, circles back to what they call the FAFSA, F-A-F-A application. It's the application that's been standardized by the federal government to help coordinate between them and the school and you, and to work yourself through the student aid mess. It can be messy. Sometimes it goes well. But what's happening now is not helping. And there's a story in Politico here that's come out and made headlines over the last couple of days. It's getting nasty now between Miguel Cardona, who used to be the state education commissioner. Now he's the national education commissioner. And there's a new federal FAFSA website and information portal here that's, what a shock. It's apparently not working too well. And you have a lot of parents, like my next guest, who are saying, come on, get your act together. Deadlines are coming up. You obviously recognize the name Shelley Sinlin, many years on television and radio here in the state. She's an accomplished photographer, public relations consultant as well. And most importantly, she is a mom of a soon-to-be college-age student and is following this. And we're going to talk to Shelley right now about what in the heck is going on. Shelley Sinlin, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show. Are you tired of hearing me talk about this?
No, because you know why, Shelley? No, you know why? Because I just Googled this, okay? So every day you're seeing more and more. Listen to this. Latest FAFSA error affects aides for hundreds of thousands. California delays financial aid deadline. The New York Times, how FAFSA upended this year's college admissions. So go ahead, Shelley, lay it out.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
I would like to say it's been a roller coaster ride, here's the deal, Paul.
Yeah.
We've been waiting in line for the roller coaster.
You're not even on
October. We're waiting there. We're waiting for the roller coaster to come, and it's not here.
Like, okay, so
the federal government has really dropped the ball.
Yeah, so explain to Neanderthals like me, who did all this on paper, because I'm old, Shelley, what is going on here, and why is it driving parents like you and kids like your daughter crazy here? Lay it out for us.
Well, you know, unless you're in this world, you don't quite get it. And as a former news reporter myself, I do notice that the coverage is a little sketchy, or not sketchy. It's only coming out now, but it is difficult to explain. But the bottom line is this: FAFSA stands for the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And back when you and I were in college, there was many ways to apply for it. Now you have to go through the federal government, surprise, surprise. And they want basically all your info. It's a little unnerving. This year, 2 years ago, they said, hey, we have to make it easier. It's too hard for people to fill out 100 questions.
Mm-hmm.
So they, by Congress, said, we're going to redesign everything to make it easier. So how they're making this easier, your listeners will love to hear this. I have to give them the right to get all of my tax returns from the IRS. It's the only way you can do it.
Wow.
This is what they changed. So unless you do this, you can't even apply for financial aid. And financial aid, Pell Grants for certain income levels.
Mm-hmm.
Most students get like $5,000 to $10,000 unsubsidized loans. This is how you do that. Parent loans. It's all done through this portal. So first of all, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't love that I have to turn over my tax returns, but I have a business. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. It was supposed to be done in October. That's when you're supposed to do this.
Oh.
Wasn't done.
Oh.
Supposed to be done the end of December. The new website and the overhaul, right? Wasn't done. Started in January for a few weeks. You could kind of get on and hope that you could apply.
Kind of get on. Wait. You could kind of get on.
Right. Like, people were like, if parents were in the same room trying to do this, I would hate to see how it would go. I'm glad that we were. So I finally was able to get on. I filed my application, Paul, January 15th.
Okay.
Guess where it's been ever since? It has not moved.
Oh, come on.
So it's
come
not
on.
Even
wait. Since January 15th?
I checked it again today.
Oh.
It's just sitting there on the dock of the bay. And every time I go in and look, it says, yep, you've applied. It's in review. It has not moved. And here, if I really had to bottom line it, mm-hmm. it's really sad because my daughter and every child has already been through a lot. This is the class in eighth grade that didn't have their graduation because of COVID.
That's right.
This is the class that started their freshman year in high school in masks remotely. They've worked extremely hard. My daughter's a straight A-plus student. And she's done everything she was supposed to do. And now she will not get financial aid. And schools have told me they're not going to get it done.
Yeah.
Because here's what's happening. They can't process it. So the feds are basically like, all right, we'll get you the info in 2 weeks. So they want colleges to process financial aid packages based on what they say they think we can afford, by the way. Too much government overreach.
Mm-hmm.
And they want them to do 6 months' work in 2 weeks, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. And Shelley, we should point out here that this, as you just properly said, this, and some people may say, well, yeah, the government screws up, but the colleges will handle it. No, they can't.
No.
Like you said, you contacted, we won't get into the colleges your daughter's applying for, but they're all good colleges. And you've had varying degrees of, we have no idea. A couple of them, I know you said, we'll do what we can, but they're all frustrated, aren't they?
They're now saying, we're not going to get it done. So if you want to go to college, you have to be – here's the thing. We have to decide by May 1st. It's almost April.
Oh.
Okay? So in 4 weeks – and I understand colleges. They have to say, like, we need to know who's coming to our school and what classes. They at some point have to cut it off. And they're like, you're going to have to make a decision not knowing if you can afford this school. And, you know, I'm very practical. I'm self-employed. I do the numbers. There's no way we're agreeing to anything without knowing what a school is willing to give us. My daughter's top of her class. She's gotten academic scholarships. Mm. We're hoping for more. And you know what? Here's another ring in the ladder. A lot of scholarships, including merit, are tied on this FAFSA application.
Oh.
If you go to the Hartford Foundation and you want to apply, there are hundreds of scholarships, we can't apply for any because we have to put our FAFSA form, which isn't done. So if I had to bottom line it, like, Sadie will probably, and again, this is A-plus student, pre-med, she'll probably commute to Central. We love Central. We're mm-hmm. very fortunate that Central's next to us. Thank goodness we have it. It's a competitive school.
Mm-hmm.
But there are kids who aren't going to go to college. And there are kids that are looking into community college, which is another great plan B. But a lot of the courses from community colleges don't transfer.
Yeah, how is
people
it?
People need to be aware of that.
How is it?
They're just not going to go to college.
No, yeah. And Shelley, look, you and I have covered news for years, and we always hear, right? You and I, when you're doing TV and me doing radio, oh, we have the best and brightest. How is it, Shelley, that basically, and I know there's a lot that goes into it, a website. I'm sure you don't know, but we have our ideas. How is it that how does that not happen in the year 2024? It's mind numbing.
How does it happen? I encourage your listeners, I keep wanting to say viewers, sorry, it's my TV
it's
days.
Okay.
I encourage them to look on Twitter, I'm sorry, now X, and look at the FAFSA site. You will see really sad stories where people are like, you're ruining my future. If you don't get this done, I can't go to school. That $5,000 loan could be in the difference between someone going to school and not. And you're dropping the ball. And now they're trying to blame colleges. Oh, you didn't set your email up right? No, not the case.
Come on,
They need to get it done. Kids have a right to go to school. But here's what I wrote on the FAFSA. My poor daughter's like, Mom, don't say too much. I still need to go to school. But I'm a fighter by nature.
Good
and
for
I
you,
feel like
yes.
People need to understand what's going on. And here's the thing. I did say in the FAFSA, I tweeted them, and I just said, how about a plan B? I understand. I run a business, right? If it didn't work, I'd say, guys, the launch didn't go well. We're going to have to go back to the old way.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got to answer 100 questions, but we'll get it done. This is not happening. And I was so stressed for months. I've let it go. You know, it's out of my hands. And there's nothing I can do. I don't think it's going to be done. We're going to see Ohio State. My daughter got into Ohio State pre-med.
Good. Excellent.
And for out-of-state people, it's $52,000 a year. So we don't really think we're going to be able to afford it. We're going to go look. Based on the FAFSA, we probably could get a lot of scholarships. They want to, you know, but they're not doing anything until they get these numbers. So it's an example of government being too big. I mean, come on. When the government gets involved, not all the time.
No, I am.
But some of the time, most of the time. It's a fiasco.
I mean, it's a website. I mean, and now we remember, Shelley, you and I were talking the other night. Oddly, I remembered, I said to you, hey, remember when they rolled out all the Obamacare portals?
Yes.
And that was an absolute mess for a month. You know, Shelley, have these people, rhetorical question here, do they not know about beta testing? A friend of mine was in on the beta testing remember when Netflix used to do mail-in, you know, DVDs by mail? Yeah. He was part of that beta test for a month, Shelley. They stressed that system for a month straight, 24/7, to make sure it worked. Do the feds not know this?
I don't know. This is way above my pay grade. You know, I'm communications.
Yeah.
But I can tell you from a business person, I would never have launched something that I didn't know was going to work. And, a lot of... Go look at Twitter, X. I'm sorry, it's hard to say that. And you just, people are begging for help. They're like, you are ruining my life. And get it done. And here's the thing. They said now, we processed 1.5 million. They still have 6 million to go. And we were told ours would be done early March. Yeah, mine's still sitting there. And now they're trying to prioritize, like, well, what states do we think need more financial aid?
Oh, my God.
So some are talking about a class action lawsuit because it's not fair. There's people who might get help and others who don't. And nobody really knows how it's all shaking out. I wish, you know, Senator Blumenthal, Senator Murphy,
somebody.
I tagged him and stuff, like, please help.
Somebody, you would think.
Somebody.
Well, listen, shake the trees there and, you know, tag, DeLauro, John Larson. Let me know if you hear anything back from anybody, and we'll definitely have you back on, okay?
I will. And good luck to everyone going through this. It's already a stressful time, and it just, you know, these kids have been through a lot. They've worked hard, and it's not like it's anything for free. Most of it's just a loan that they're trying to get.
Yeah. All right, listen.
So, all right, Paul. Well, thank you for helping me spread the word.
My pleasure, and we'll have some herb tea and crumpets in a couple of weeks, okay?
Sounds great. Okay.
All right.
Yoga, too. I need something. Okay.
Shelley, thanks. Shelley Sinland, folks, you remember her from her TV and radio days. Yeah, how about that? How about that? And ask somebody who's going through what Shelley and her daughter are going through because the government can't set up a freaking website that works. See how they feel. Every Tuesday at this time, Megan Portfolio joins us, a writer for the Yankee Institute. She writes the Hartford Portfolio. And good afternoon, Megan. How are you today?
Oh, doing well. I'm going on vacation, so I'm really well.
Yeah? Staycation? Are you going to, you don't have to tell me where, but you're leaving, you're staying, what are you doing?
Staying in New England.
Nice.
I just need to get out of a CT clown world for a couple days.
Speaking of clown world, on an issue that you and I have talked about before, and I've talked about on this show, these opportunity scholarships, people donating money out of their own pocket to get a tax break to help unfortunate kids. What a shock, Megan. One of the top Democrats in Hartford apparently is scared of upsetting the teachers' unions.
Oh, I know. The government in Connecticut actually found a line that they say is a line that the legislature should not cross.
Okay, so we're talking about Matt Ritter, the House Speaker. Folks, we talked about this earlier with Megan a few weeks ago. Pretty simple. If you have some money you want to donate, you can donate to people who benefit charter schools, who set up educational opportunities, and you, like many other states, would get a credit on your state income tax. But boy, I'm reading this clip you sent me here from Matt Ritter, and boy, I tell you, he's quivering here at upsetting the teachers' unions. Is that what it is?
Yeah, our fourth branch of government apparently is the teachers' unions, and if they don't like it, then Matt Ritter doesn't do it.
So,
but it's funny because
this is not
a red or blue state issue either, which is hysterical because they actually have these scholarships in Rhode Island,
yeah,
and they have them in Pennsylvania. So this is something that's easily passed in a blue state, but because the teachers' unions, I think the fiscal note is $2.5 million.
Yeah.
Not that I like throwing around tax dollars,
mm-hmm,
but I mean, if you're going to help some kids get out of these failing public schools, I mean, now you're creating like taxpayers and not tax burdens.
So I'm looking at this story of Fox 61. Advocates at state capitol push for opportunity scholarship tax credit. And then I scroll down here, scroll. And Matt Ritter, the House Speaker here, let's see, he says, give me a second here, because I had the quote right here. And he doesn't seem too happy about it here. And he said that this was, hold on, it's right here. I think the change.
It got stiff opposition,
yes,
I believe he said.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what does that mean? What does that mean?
Oh, it must be an election year or something. And I don't know. I don't know what it means. He didn't say it, but I mean, it is an election year, and one of the big teachers unions, mm-hmm, CEA, I mean, they are out in full force every election year to get the candidates that do their bidding and back in office.
And you know
this
what?
This year they're looking for a bunch of stuff this year. They're looking for COVID pay this year.
You know what?
COVID was in 2020.
I found the quote here, Megan, and the way he says this, he's kind of, because I read this two or three times, and he kind of says, hey, we like this idea, but, you know, some other people may be threatening us. Because, folks, listen to this line. Quote, this is from Matt Ritter, the state House Speaker. He's talking about, again, you could make a charitable donation out of your pocket, you, your business, whatever. It would go to disadvantaged kids. Other states do this, and you get a tax break. Quote, we actually, at one point, I think we're prepared to move forward, but it got some pretty stiff opposition. He adds, I think for some people, wink, it crosses the line perhaps of where the legislature should go. Wow, Megan, you read that, it's almost like, hey, I think this is a good idea, but ...
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to let your listeners know, because a lot of the people that are against this bill, i.e. the teachers unions, mm-hmm, they keep saying this is taking money out of public schools. We're not advocating taking money out of public schools. This is not going to come out of public schools. It's a tax credit.
Yeah.
That would just come from the general
Nobody's
fund.
Losing money.
No
Nobody's
losing, money.
Losing any
and no
money.
No one wants them to lose money.
Oh, All right. That's my initial agenda. Now, I know you wanted to talk about this. Again, you did a great piece on the out-of-state union rabble-rousers coming in here trying to force restaurants to change the way that they pay their servers and their waiters. And we've talked about this on my show with you. I've had Scott Dolch on. You were not impressed, Megan, were you, with one of the main people behind this whole thing from out of state?
No, and actually, what piqued my interest was during the public hearing when she testified, when she was done, Representative Steve Weir, I think he's out of Hebron, he was really annoyed. He didn't even ask her a question. He's like, I remember you from last year. You came here and you were number 50 in line to speak, because it's a lottery. Like it's a lottery. You get randomly drawn. Unless you're in the union, you get to go first. But everyone else, you got to get in line. Well, she told them, someone in the administration or in the legislation administration, that She had a plane to catch to take a flight out of state. Well, he opened up the paper the next day or the 2 days later, and he saw that she was actually still in the state. So now this woman's credibility is called into question. She's rattling off all these facts and figures, but she's already lied. So, like, you lie to me once, you know. So I started doing some digging, and apparently this organization is not keeping their side of the street clean. There are a ton of allegations against how they are running their own organization. Everything from not paying people on time, management is just incompetent. They're just essentially a mouthpiece for her. Now, I actually found their tax filings. She's making this six-figure salary.
Of course.
To go from state to state and try to push this on us. Like, she has no ties to Connecticut. And she's coming in here with throwing all these facts and figures. But, I mean, she lies. She's actually got caught lying in Maryland.
Yeah.
She said that there was all these restaurants.
Yes.
That at that point had paid minimum wage. So one organization called up all these restaurants that said that she claimed was paying minimum wage, and a bunch of them are like, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't pay minimum wage. We just pay like $4 an hour, and they get tips. And one of the restaurants wasn't even open. So, I mean, who are these lawmakers going to listen to?
We know who they're going to listen to. And our morning show host here, Megan Melissa Sheketoff, had somebody on from the organization. And I was chatting with her the other day. I didn't hear the segment. But much like you said, Melissa tried to, you know, pinpoint from what, okay, well, can you give me a restaurant or two in the state that's not abiding by the law? No, I can't do that. I can't give it. Okay, can you give me a city or town? No. How about if you can give me a county in the state? So basically she said, come on, you're not being serious here. You know,
that's my girl, Melissa. Good for her.
That's right. Oh yeah. Got a little testy, but that was good. Listen. And finally, now look at you. You get a piece in the National Review.
Man, that was going to be my topic next week because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to write, but that's okay.
Oh, no, because I did my whole first hour on that.
No way.
Yes. But
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, and again, I we're going to take an identifying mark off of a driver's only license, 61,000 of them maybe in the state of the estimate. And Megan, why might that be happening? I don't know.
I personally don't think Ned Lamont is trying to get people to break the law and vote.
No.
I mean, I think what he's doing is, hey, I'm going to be cooler than the DeSantis is going to have this law down in Florida. Like, can we just focus on Connecticut, guys? Like, seriously, why are we trying to one-up each other? We have enough problems. Florida's not have, I mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. Florida does have problems with getting their votes tallied in a reasonable amount of time. But we have some problems going on right now in the state. Why are we adding to it?
I know. Well, listen, I'm sorry I burst the bubble for next week, so please forgive me.
Oh, that's all right. I'll just have to find something fun to talk about and complain about next week.
Well, listen, enjoy your New England vacay. Relax. Do what you do. And we'll talk next Tuesday, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
All right. There you go. That is Megan Portfolio from the Yankee Institute. You know, I have the thought again, and this pops into my head every so often, because if I see certain things, you know, I sit back and I say to myself, you know, what happened to us as a country? And I'm seeing these news stories over the past 3 or 4 days that make me wonder who made the decision in this country to devalue citizenship? You know, like, I'm a citizen of the U.S. You know, I feel special. Or it's a special thing to obtain citizenship status. Now, it's not easy. It costs money. I get it. But, man, I got to tell you, every few months I just get hit between the eyes because I see stories. And to the degree that we don't care about the borders, we let all different manner of dirtbag come across the border, we let anybody want to vote. Now, what happened to the times that being a citizen of the United States, a legal citizen in good standing, what happened to those times? How did we get away from that? How did we... And listen, you know, listen, it's not like this country doesn't have problems. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to be apple pie, baseball, Chevrolet, wave the flag all the time. But I did kind of understand growing up that there were certain things to be honored with citizenship, and then there were certain things to be denied to you if you were not a citizen. And the more and more we keep not having a spine on these things, whether it's locally here in Connecticut or nationally, it just makes me wonder, when did this happen? Is this the progressive leftist dream? Oh, they're here anyway, so why not deal with it? I mean, how about this? And look, two or three things hit me on this today, which I was like, well, you know, maybe it's lost. Maybe we should just pull down everything we have at the border. Maybe we should just get rid of all the citizenship requirements we have and say, screw this. We're done. Come on in, everybody. Sleep wherever you want. Sleep on my lawn. I don't care. The New York City, I'll give you examples here. You tell me, when did we lose the value of citizenship, and whose fault is that, huh? I'm trying to figure it out. The New York City Council is asking New York's highest court to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. The controversial change, passed by the City Council in late 2021 and signed into law by then-Mayor Bill de Blasio, a real stunod, would have allowed 800,000 non-citizens with green cards to vote, but was struck down as unconstitutional last month by an appellate court. So they're still arguing this. So how about that? How about that? 800,000 non-citizens. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean they don't work hard. I'm not saying that. But shouldn't we reach a level of existence in this country where being given the right to vote is a privilege? That doesn't seem like a privilege anymore. How have we gotten here with that? The idea of coming into this country legally, the idea of obeying our laws, the idea of showing us some common courtesy to the point where we say, all right, maybe you can stay. All right, we're not going to send you back. But 800,000 non-citizens want to get to vote in New York City. Really? And I'm not saying they're all illegals. They may have green cards or student visas. Really? Who thinks that's a good idea? I don't. And I don't care whether that non-citizen is riding a bike, walking, or driving a Mercedes-Benz. No. No. I am tired of the pandering of people who are not legal citizens here. I'm not saying they're all bad people, but here's the question I have. What's the value of citizenship anymore? What is it? Tell me, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Explain to me, when we don't seem to hold it in any sort of level of esteem anymore, who decided this? How about this? How about this? In the Midwest, an illegal immigrant is awaiting arraignment on an open murder charge after he allegedly killed a young woman whose body was left on U.S. 13 in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. Police continued to investigate the details that led to the body of a deceased woman found on the road this past Friday, dead of an apparent gunshot wound. The victim, 25-year-old female Mavy Garcia, talked about her sister. The suspect in the case is Brandon Ortiz Vitae, 25 years old, currently a primary suspect, possibly on the run to Mexico. He is from Durango and Puebla. So, again, this guy got into the country and killed someone. The nursing student a couple of weeks ago at the University of Georgia gets beaten to death. We hear about this all the time. We hear about this all the time. Non-citizens allowed in the country. And the reaction from the White House, whatever. Whatever. They don't care. Nobody cares. The idea of citizenship and honoring that citizenship to many in this country is just not a big deal anymore. That's frightening. You know, I got to tell you something. Listen, I'm no big sociologist here, but when we over and over and over again, when the response, the overt response from people, when people are killed by illegals, when non-citizens want to vote, when the response locally and nationally from the White House is, whatever. We got more stuff to worry about. Does that bother you? It kind of bothers me. It kind of bothers me that there is no value put on citizenship. Hey, Joe Biden admitted it. He said a couple of weeks ago, well, we're not going to shut the border. We just have to manage the flow. He said if you sign that bill that came out of the Senate, it needs to be signed because it'll let me manage the flow. I have that on audio here. I can pull it up later if you want me to. So it's not about stopping this. It's not about solidifying the idea of actually becoming a proud and law-abiding U.S. citizen. It's about, listen, just let them come. We'll make a nice funnel so they get in here easier. And if some illegals, as happens, you know, on a pretty constant flow here, come in and kill people, run them down, beat a college student to death, kill one here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, cost of doing business, Joe, right? Folks, it's frightening. And coming up, got a story here. It's actually by one of our contributors coming up later today, Megan Portfolio. There is a push now in Hartford to change a designation on driver's licenses given to non-citizens in this state that it's explained in the story, that could end up fostering more voter fraud. But this is going to be done somehow we'll show Ron DeSantis in Florida. It's nuts. Why don't we value citizenship anymore? That there are certain rights and opportunities given to a legal citizen of the U.S. Explain to me why non-citizens, why illegals get driver's licenses. Can anybody explain that to me? Explain to me how that's a good idea. Well, you know, they're here anyway. Yeah, they're here anyway, so two wrongs make a right. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but again, all this leads to my question that if this happens and that happens and this and the other thing happen, and it's giving an excuse to folks and giving them abilities that I used to think only were allowable to people who were here of legal standing, then I ask you, to what end does citizenship mean anything? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. You can drive, you can work, some places want you to vote, you can raise a family. Here's who I feel bad for. The people who do this the right way, who spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on legal fees and go through the process, and when they're here, they become citizens, and they have a naturalization ceremony, and they wave the American flag, and they show their citizenship certificate, and they pay taxes, and they have a driver's license legally. Those are the people. Those people are getting played for as suckers by the illegals. The state government that looks the other way, look the other way, gives them driver's licenses. And the feds, too. You got, pops there in the White House going, they're bum rushing the Texas National Guard and everybody else down there last week. Well, whatever. And Karine Jean-Pierre goes out there and blames Republicans. I'll tell you, the stupidity is mind-boggling.